You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Andrew Johnston wins his maiden European Tour title at the Real Club Valderrama Open de España, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation.
Dream come true, really. You always try and pitch yourself sort of coming down the last and trying to maybe two-putt or hold that winning putt and things like that. And yeah, it's just pretty surreal.
And we'll talk exclusively to Andrew Johnston later in the show. Second place went to the Dutchman, Joost Luiten.
The mistake on 11, bogey on 11, might have been the one that was the game changer. But it's been a good week and playing solid, it's very tough conditions. So I'm happy with the way I played and the way I hanged in there today.
We'll review all the action from Valderrama and also look ahead to the next stop on the Race to Dubai, the Shenzhen International in China. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Ewan Murray once again. And Ewan, great week on a very tough course.
I've known that course for many years when it was Las Aves and Soda Grande New. I don't think they needed the rough around the greens. That course can defend itself without that type of rough.
How rare is it that nobody in the entire field was under par at the end of four rounds?
Well, the last time was the US Open at Merion. I guess you go back to places like Troia, which was a very difficult course in Portugal. But a surprise when you think it's under 7,000 yards and it's a par of 71, which is quite generous. I think that would surprise anyone who watched it over the 4 days.
Well, Andrew Johnston started the final day alongside Joost Luiten at 2 over par, just one behind Michel Lorenzo Vera, who was the overnight leader. But winning for the first time, you probably wouldn't choose a course like that to, you know, get nerve jangly at the end and get it done.
Well, the one thing I would say, it was never going to be a low-scoring week. So as long as your game was consistent and you were patient enough to deal with all the problems that Valderrama presents to you, then you were in good shape going into the 72 holes.
Just oddly enough, on my buggy up by the clubhouse, I saw Gordon and Andrew making their way towards the tee, and I just said, good luck, boys, just go out there and enjoy it. And they saw, you know, jokey. Bogey the first, and I thought, oh dear, that's probably not going to be their day. How often is it when you bogey the first, you actually rally and find a way back?
I don't think anyone's found the answer to that question, but it is strange how often you start a round with a bogey. Maybe it takes the expectation away and you just beat yourself over the next 17 holes. And that's exactly what he was. He was very impressive.
And no surprise for you that Luiten and Keimer were right up there throughout the entire week?
Great ball strikers. You've got Garcia in there as well. Some of the best ball strikers we have on the European Tour. You give them the test that Valderrama is, and they will be able to deal with it.
And James Morrison, defending champion, and it was a very stout defence as well.
Yeah, not the easiest thing to do. There's a lot of your time is taken away from you at the start of the week. Maybe your practice is not quite the same. But James, who won in Madeira in 2010, won last year, he'll win again.
There was a four-way tie at one stage when Sergio birdied the 16th and the 17th to get to plus two. Four players were on plus two, and then it was anybody's. It was a really exciting finish.
For sure, and Garcia missed a 10-foot putt for an eagle three at 17, which would have put the cat amongst the pigeons, I think, there. He may not then have dropped the shot at 18. Of course, we'll never know. Golf is about that. What if? But Andrew Johnston, I feel, won this. It wasn't handed to him. He won it.
And was the key thing, in your opinion, the breakthrough birdie at the 16th?
Definitely. 17's such a dangerous hole. You had everything from a 3 to a 10 there throughout the course of the week. So it's not a hole you look forward to. Rather like the 17th, the old course at St Andrews, it's always in the back of your mind before you get there. So the birdie at 16 gave him a cushion. It allowed him not to have to birdie 17, and then he had enough in the bank to get the job done.
And before we crown Andrew Johnston as the new Spanish Open champion, what about a word for Pablo Larrazábal, who was leading the halfway stage and had the most horrendous finish yesterday, 7-10-5.
Unbelievable finish, but he's not the only one who's done that down the years. You go back to the Ryder Cups, you go back to the American Express, the World Golf Championship back at the turn of the century, and there was all sorts of problems there with Tiger Woods, with Mike Weir. That hole has a tremendous amount of history over quite a short period of time.
And Andrew Johnston then, after having birdied the 16th, he made it very clever the way he played 17, knocking it long on purpose, and then he knew he wouldn't knock it in the water, 5-4 at the last with a two-putt, but he had that awkward wait, Ewan.
Oh, for sure. That's the last thing you need. The less time you have to think about it, the better it is. But he's an experienced player. He won the Challenge Tour back in 2014. He consolidated his position in the Race to Dubai in 2015. And this is the next step he's taken. In Ryder Cup year, he's still got quite a lot to do, but he's pushed himself into the top 25 on the European points list, and there's an awful lot to play for between now and September.
Well, I'm delighted to say that we can now speak to the latest winner in the European Tour, Andrew Johnston. Andrew, that must have been unbelievably gratifying yesterday when you turned out to be the champion of Spain.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable day. Well, week, really. Just so happy to manage to stick in there and get it done in the end.
When you got to the golf course and saw Valderrama, is that the first time you played it, by the way?
Yeah, first time I played it. And I'd had a nice break, and it was actually really funny. I went to Florida to see my sister, and I had 3 weeks out there, and I was like, I'm going to practice a lot, And I hardly touched the club. I was having such a nice time spending time with her and my niece. And I come back, and I played the week before and practiced a bit. And I got to the range on Tuesday, and I saw Alan Thompson, my coach, and I started hitting balls, and it wasn't good. And I played 9 holes on Tuesday, and I was like, wow, what a golf course it is. I was looking at how tough it is, and I played 9 holes in the Pro-Am on the Wednesday. I looked at it, and I was like, oh, my God, the way I'm hitting it, I'm going to shoot about 90 round here. I honestly thought that. And I went back to the range straight after the Pro-Am, just kept working on something, and I found something on the range, and I was like, all right, that's it, we've had a long day, I'll just start in the morning. And I just started building up on the Thursday with just wedges, just trying to get a feeling, and I got a nice feeling on that day, and I played really nice the first day. I think getting that start, and then when the wind kicked in on the next 2 days, I could just hang in there, and I chipped and putted really well, and I drove the ball nice, but I struggled with my irons. Somehow I just found something again yesterday, and I struck it lovely all day. So, yeah, it's been a mad week.
Andrew, you enjoyed great success on the Challenge Tour a couple of years ago, 70th in the Race to Dubai last year, so a career that's progressing nicely. Is there a big difference between the Challenge Tour and the Main Tour?
Well, obviously, I think the courses get a bit tougher and the players get better, so the scoring becomes harder. And I think a lot of the tournaments become more bunched. I think you can play really well for 70 holes. And if you play a few of them bad, you seem to drop down, say, from top 10 to 30th, where it's really bunched. And I think that's the difference there with it. And it could be really penalising if you don't finish Sunday well, or you have one poor day, you know.
You've been attached to North Middlesex now for some time. No doubt you've had some fine messages from them.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. I've had like videos of them celebrating and things like that. And it's just unbelievable. I can't wait to get back there and see everyone. Yeah, they've gone absolutely crackers. It's brilliant.
Andrew, closing out the tournament like you did, you played the last 3 holes in 1 under par on that golf course. You knew you were in the mix, but how difficult was Valderrama in the closing stages?
It was tricky. I made a bit of an error on 14 with a 3-putt, but I said to my caddy, go on, I said, I didn't really hit that bad a putt on both of them. So I was like, don't worry about it. Just get on to 15 and hit the green there. I thought that was important there, to hit the green and come off with 3 there, because that could be a nightmare hole. And I knew the wind was down, so I could hit driver on 16 and get it down there and have a wedge in. And I hit a really nice tee shot there. And okay, wedge. I didn't want to short side myself left, and I hit it a bit right. I looked at the putt, and I liked the look of it, and I just hit one nice. And I actually thought that it was going to dive low and miss, and it seemed to just hang on somehow. It sort of defied like the green and the gravity. It was really strange. And then, yeah, played 17 nice. I thought anything just past it, the back, it'd take the water out of play. It was pretty safe, and the front of 18 wasn't too bad. So, yeah, seemed to play them really solid.
There's always a turning point in the final round. Andrew, was 16 the one for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think it just gave me that edge down the last two, you know. Instead of being level, I was sort of one shot going in, and then the guys had to maybe chase a birdie coming down the last two, and it took a bit of pressure off. I think if I parred 16, then I'd be going, right, I've got a birdie 17, and maybe not have played it as well.
Andrew, you've won a big check, and you've got an exemption till the end of, I think, 2018. But if you could only have one of those, the big check you've won or the exemption, which one would you choose?
Exemption all day long. You know, I've never really ever played for the money. Always had fun playing golf as a kid and as a junior when I had no money. So I don't see it as any different in that. Obviously, you've got bills to pay and stuff like that now, but it's all about having the name on the trophy. When I looked at the names on there, now it was just a pretty mind-blowing, ridiculous that my name's going to go up there. And I told him to put beef on it. I'm only messing. No, I just said, like, you look at the name, says that maybe, wow, someone might look at that and go, yeah, beef's on there.
Well, you've got beef on the back of your hat, Andrew. Just a quick run through why that is so and why you're called beef.
Just one of my mates, they used to have curly hair. I said, it's a terrible, terrible story. And he just said, look at your big head. It looks like a big bit of meat. He went, beef head. And he just stuck. And I've been called that since I was about 11, 12 years old.
And you know, Andrew, you know, of all the names that are on that trophy, the one that's probably going to give you more a sense of being amongst the legends is Seve's name. You must look at that. And yesterday you must have looked at that and thought, wow.
Yeah, I said it's absolutely ridiculous. I think like people like him have won it and like legends of the game. It's absolute madness. It's going to take a while to get my head around it.
Listen, a brilliant performance, a brilliant win. Just quickly going forward, how does this change life for you on tour?
I don't think too much, you know. I remember Challenge Tour when I won in Scotland. The first thing I said is, right, you've got to try and back it up and not make it a one-hit wonder and try and go out and win again. I think it's exactly the same thing. Try and go out and prepare well for Morocco and just look to the next tournament.
That is a great attitude. Really well played around an extremely tough golf course. Congratulations, Andrew, from you and myself and the rest of the crew on the Race to Dubai show.
Okay, thanks a lot. Cheers, guys.
You know, I was delighted to hear him say there, Ewan, that he's now thinking forward. I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. I want to get out there and do it again. There's no sense that he's kind of, well, I've done it, and now it's a big exhale of breath, and I can sort of sit where I am. He's pushing on.
Yes, and the important thing with that is the schedule. And he's not gone out to China this week, so he'll be able to sit at home and enjoy that victory and get himself ready for when he comes out again, because there's some big events coming up in May.
Yeah, there sure are. Well, it was his first European Tour victory in his 63rd event. He moves to 16th on the Race to Dubai and 125 in the official world golf rankings from 233. So that's a jump of over 100 places. And he's the first player to win a regular European Tour event with an over par score since Ian Woosnam at the 1996 Scottish Open. That's quite amazing. Well, Dutchman Joost Luiten finished second, just one shot behind. Here's what he had to say.
Second is never bad, but, you know, I was close. Made a couple mistakes coming down the stretch on the back nine, and it was tough. Didn't hit them close enough to really make birdies, and the mistake on 11, bogey on 11, felt like that might have been the one that that was a game changer. But it's been a good week, and playing solid. It's very tough conditions, so I'm happy with the way I played and the way I hanged in there today.
And there was so much that was so good, wasn't there, when you moved to the top as well?
Yeah, no, I had a good start, and my putter was doing well in the first five, six holes, rolling in some nice par putts and a couple birdie putts. And then what I say after that, I didn't really hit them close enough to really make birdies, and that's what I had to do at the end, and just hit a bad shot into 17, just chickened out a little bit there, but it was a good week.
Many thanks to Nick Dyer for getting the top interviews, but he's sort of racking up the top tens now, young Joost.
He is. I don't know Joost Luiten that well. I'm a great admirer of the way he plays. I think his game is all but faultless, and it surprises me that he hasn't won more.
We may well see him have a very big summer, Joost Luiten. Sergio Garcia, the tournament host, made six birdies in his closing 67 to finish third at three over par, and he enjoyed the final day at Valderrama despite that bogey on 18.
It was exciting, played nicely today. Even though my wrist was giving me a bit of trouble, problems releasing because of the pain. But I managed to hit a lot of good shots. I made some great recoveries, rolled a couple of nice putts here and there. Just unfortunate on the last, you know, caught a massive flyer with the 8-iron there and hit it 195 yards when supposed to hit 165. So, but that happens. I'm proud of the way the tournament has gone. I'm proud of the way I played all week after 4 weeks in a row, which is tiring. But we raised a lot of money for our foundation, so we're thrilled about that.
Well, the foundation did raise a considerable sum of money for Sergio's foundation, which is involved with the largest cancer charity in Spain. €66,000 goes towards the provision of accommodation for families whilst their children are undergoing cancer treatment. That's a very, very worthwhile cause indeed. Now, tied fourth in Spain were defending champion James Morrison and Denmark's Søren Kjeldsen.
I came here, you know, in good form, really looking forward to the event, and I think I played really well. First 3 days, I didn't finish my rounds off properly. I had a really bad one on Friday, and not great yesterday either. But today I finished great, so overall I think my general level of play has been really high again, and I'm very happy about that.
How impressed, Ewan, have you been with the stamina of the likes of Garcia, Kaimer, Kjeldsen, straight from Augusta, straight to Valderrama, another beat-me-up test, and right there at the end?
Well, he's a great advert for the 40-pluses, isn't he, Kjeldsen? When you think 15 months ago he was outside the top 300 in the world rankings, pushed his way into the top 50, which got him to Augusta, and a tremendous performance there, followed by another in Spain.
Well, Ewan, could you give us the top 10 from the Open d'España, please?
In 10th place was Scotland's Craig Lee. Alex Norden in a tie for 6th, alongside Michael Lorenzo Vera, former Challenge Tour winner, Martin Kaimer and Ross Fisher. Into the top 5, and in a tie for 4th, Kjeldsen and the defending champion James Morrison. and three big names up at the top. Garcia, Loughton, and the new winner, Johnson.
Yes, Andrew Johnson. And Ewan, could you confirm the top 10 places in the Race to Dubai standings?
Chris Wood is 10th. Soren Kjelsen, with his fine performances over the last fortnight, pushes his way into 9th place, just behind Charles Schwartzel. Lee Westwood, second in the Masters, up to 7th. Brandon Grace, recent winner on the PGA Tour over at Hilton Head Island, he's in 6th place. Into the top 5, it's Stenson at 5, McIlroy at 4, and one of the sensations of the year at 3, Rafael Cabrera-Bayo. Only two players ahead of him, Louis Oosthuizen and the Masters champion, Danny Willett.
Now, the fancy Race to Dubai tips last week, I went for Soren Kjelsen, who finished 4th, and Jamie Spence, in his wisdom, went for Martin Kaymer. In the end, with a bad finish, he finished 6th, so Kjelsen pipped Kaymer, normal service resumed. The European Tour's fancy Race to Dubai is well underway, and last week's winner was Paul and his team named El Balericos. It had Andrew Johnston as captain, alongside Joost Luijten, Sergio Garcia and Rafa Cabrera-Bayo, who all finished inside the top 20 at Valderrama. Be sure to go to My European Tour at europeantour.com to see the fantasy three to watch for this week's Shenzhen International, just across the border from Hong Kong. OK, Ewan, what are the Ryder Cup standings looking like right now? Because that's going to be very fluid as we go through the summer.
That's going to change dramatically over the next 2 months. But Andrew Johnson, for instance, his victory takes him just outside the top 20 now in the European points list. So another victory for him, and he'd be pushing his way into the top 10 there, alongside the likes of Andy Sullivan, who had such a good year last year, and Matt Fitzpatrick, who, of course, won the British Masters. So that's how quickly things can change. I think Darren Clarke will be thrilled at the form of Sergio Garcia, a good finish in Spain, and also thrilled of another Spaniard, the performance of Rafael Cabrera-Bayo. These boys really have moved their way up the list.
Yeah, they sure have. Now, in other news, on the PGA Tour, Brandon Grace won the RBC Heritage. The South African, who has already won on the European Tour this season, finished 2 shots clear of the 54-hole leader, Luke Donald, who was tied second alongside Scotland's Russell Knox. Here was Grace's reaction after his latest victory.
Yeah, in the last couple of weeks, or the last couple of months, it's been pretty tough. I know I've been playing some good golf, but just not finishing it off. And, you know, I had some good moments and some good things that I can feed off from last year coming into this week. I like this golf course. I like the way it plays. I like the type of golf that I have to play around this. So, you know, the plan worked out, and, you know, I'm super stoked. I'm really excited and just fortunate that, you know, I'm in this position.
Well, Ewan, I really like his attitude, Brandon Grace. Definitely kind of aggressive, and he's always on the front foot.
He's a player who never looks backwards. That's what I like about Brandon Grace. He always looks forward. If he has a bad week, it doesn't seem to bother him. You look at his situation at Chambers Bay just about 10 months ago. Great chance there of winning the US Open. A shot from the blue, one of these mystery shots, out of bounds at 16, forgotten, straight back in the US PGA and challenging for that title. So this latest win, Robert, comes as no great surprise.
Yes, I really like the cut of his jib. Top 10 in the world rankings, please, Ewan.
Justin Rose slipped down to 10th. Danny Willett has ascended to 9th after that win at Augusta. In 8th, Dustin Johnson. Adam Scott, hot for the month of March for sure, is in 7th, just behind Henrik Stenson. Into the top 5, and it's Ricky Fowler at 4, Bubba Watson, and no change in the top 3, McIlroy, Spieth, and the world number 1 is Jason Day.
Yeah, that's going really nicely, isn't it? They're swapping positions by the week, it seems, those three. Other news, India's SSP Chaurasia has been named a Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for March after his success at the Hero Indian Open again, Ewan.
There's certainly something about that part of the world that he seriously likes, and he's got to learn to win on the world stage. When you look at the performances of his victories, you'd expect him to do it in Europe, or indeed places like China, or over there in Korea, or whatever. That's his next step. He's got to find that form and bring it over to Europe.
Yes, Tongchai Jaidi has put down the template for players that are used to the conditions that far east of here, and, well, let's see if he can have a really good summer SSP Chaurasia back in Europe. Now, once again, there are free tickets available for the British Masters supported by Sky Sports with the return of Sky Sports Thursday. Last year at Woburn, all 15,000 free tickets for the opening round were snapped up in less than 48 hours, and there are 20,000 available for this year's first day at the Grove in October. And Rafael Jacquelin, Alex Levy, Gregory Averay and Romain Vatel set a new world record of 34.8 seconds to complete a 500-yard-plus golf hole as a relay. There's a brilliant video of this on the My European Tour section of europeantour.com, with the French team competing against rival quartets from Spain and Denmark. That is a lot of fun. It's very, very funny. Make sure you catch that if you can. Now, this week on the Race to Dubai, we're back in China for the Shenzhen International at the Genzong Golf Course. Kiradesh Afibanrat is the defending champion from 2015, when Tommy Fleetwood was third.
2 years in a row I've played well, actually. It's obviously a course that I felt comfortable on in the past, so it is a nice golf course. It's quite a nice week. Everything's on site, and it's very quick and easy. You know, I felt good around there before, so hopefully I'll keep that going. I think the one thing is the greens are very tricky, and everybody finds them tough, and from past experience, it's nice to know that, because, you know, you can do a bit of work on the greens, so you can stay patient if you're not holing that many putts. Yeah, so 2 good years, hopefully a third.
How do you feel that your form is at the moment?
Up and down, but that's golf, and that's just the way it is, so you never know what you're going to turn up with. And I think I've missed the cut twice the week before China, so we'll see.
You know, the great thing for young bucks like Tommy Fleetwood, Chris Wood, Danny Willett just won the Masters. You know, and these young guys who are go-getters, he must be the standard bearer for them now. They must think, if Danny Willett can win the Masters, I can win the Masters.
Well, Danny Willett at 28, Andrew Johnson this week at 27 years of age. So much is talked about the likes of Spieth and McIlroy and Day, who are all younger than these players, but it seems that those in the 30s, 40s and 20s are winning.
Yeah, you're quite right. It's extraordinary, isn't it, the world of golf right now? Do you think, in general, players like undulating curly greens, or, you know, like a sort of flatter variety?
Well, if they're going to China, they're going to have to like that, because so many of the courses have been built in the space of the last 10, 15, 20 years. And this one is very similar to all the new courses out there. Fairly generous fairways, fairways that you would expect to hit. But greens, really, that are made up of four sections. So iron play, I think, is probably the premium this week.
So look for the good iron players. And with that in mind, well, give us an idea of who's playing first before we get your pick.
Well, it's a very good field. The likes of Victor Dubuisson, who's now beginning to pick up and play a bit more often. I think he plays better the more often he plays. Alexander Levy has started to show some form again. I think one or two would quite fancy him to do well. And two players that take my eye is Hayden Portis from Modderfontein Golf Club down in South Africa, and Brandon Stone, both of them, of course, winners over the winter down there. Two youngsters that have got the golfing world at their feet if they really want it. So it's a truly international field, and also a great influx of Chinese players as well, more than we would have had 10, 15 years ago.
Hayden Portis, by the way, I think he had a nine holes during the first two rounds of 45 or 46, so he found Valderrama to be very tough. This would be a different test, having said that. Maybe much more to his liking. And with that, who have you picked for success this week?
Well, I've gone for a home win. It's like the pools panel. I've gone for a home win. Oh. I think the winner this week will be a young man called Lee Hao Tong. He's from the Lake Millaren Club, where the BMW Masters has been over the course of the last few years. He's knocked on the door once or twice in Europe. I think if he continues to do that, one of these doors will open.
I'm going to counter that with the player who won the Challenge Tour last year, Ricardo Gouveia, young Portuguese player, spent some time in American college. He's obviously a fine talent the way he won the Challenge Tour. He might have a breakthrough win this week in China. So Ricardo Gouveia, for me, may the best man win. That's it for now. Please join us next week when we review the Shenzhen International and look ahead to the Volvo China Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Ewan Murray.
Goodbye.
And myself, Robert Lee. We'll see you next week.